Those of you who were here last night know what a blessing we received to hear Arthur Blessed speak. Several people went out and said, my, that is infectious. It just makes you want to just be so excited about Jesus Christ. And certainly his kind of a personality does, because he's sold out to Christ. As you hear Arthur Blessed speak and as you hear him preach the word, you get the idea that here is a man that is sold out completely to Jesus. How many of you were not able to be here last night? Let me see, you're not able. Oh my goodness, great. Got about 800 or so, I'd say, who were not here last night. I thank you for being here tonight. Arthur Blessed went out to Los Angeles several years ago and began to witness alone on the street. He literally, I could tell you a lot of chapters that happened. I remember one time, because his place of witnessing was closed, he chained himself. What did you chain yourself to, Arthur? A cross. There on the street, and a lot of folks heard about it and realized that Arthur was for real. And I remember Jess Moody and Owen Cooper and some other men got excited about this man because of what he was doing and witnessing on the street in bars and nightclubs, strip joints, wherever, telling people about Christ. And many of the places had to go out of business because their owners were converted. And this is the kind of witness that Arthur Blessed has had. He's bold. He's courageous. He is completely sold out to the Lord. Sandy and I were out at Los Angeles about 6 years ago, to have a revival meeting at a nearby city. And we were going over. She was a preacher's daughter, still is, and I was a preacher's son. And we'd never seen sin. We didn't know what sin looked like because we were brought up in such a sheltered life. We weren't like this choir. And so we went to Sunset Strip, and everybody told us all the horrible things we'd seen. You know, when we got over there, Arthur had already cleaned it up. And Barry Wood, who was pastor of the First Baptist Church of Beverly Hills, met with us that night. And he said, really, folks, Sunset Strip isn't what it used to be. There's nothing going on here. They're so afraid. He said, you know, even the lost kids are wearing Jesus T-shirts just to keep Arthur from witnessing to them. That's what kind of esteem he made there for Christ. And across the world, he has carried that 90-pound cross 15,000 miles. He's walked carrying that cross. And when people see him, they're reminded of the cross. That's worth it right there, isn't it? This man loves the Lord. This is a special treat for him to be here these two nights because he left his special training school in Los Angeles to be with us. That's like my being gone 2 days during Starlight. The big event that he has every year to train others how to witness for Christ, he's missing it 2 days for us. Arthur, you come and preach to us tonight.
Praise the Lord. I'm ready to go. He was mentioning Hollywood. I just wanted to let you know that three out of every four strip clubs and discos and everything else in Hollywood on the Sunset Strip are shut down today from the way it was. You know, the world's getting worse, except on the Sunset Strip, the crime rate's going down. And that's a literal fact. And it's just good to go back there and pick up the pieces that are left over. And now we're working on the last of the hard cases on the Strip. But don't get your mind that it's a Sunday school class yet, because it's not, because a lot of them moved up to Hollywood Boulevard. And we've moved up there to get them also. So you pray for us this month as we continue to share about the Lord. It's been great. We went out all in the shopping centers and everything else. We were witnessing to one another. A guy tried to give me a track about 6:30 tonight. So I figure it's time for me to leave when folks start witnessing to me. You don't need me. I think we ought to start off with a great big Jesus cheer. And let all these neighbors over here that are backslidden Baptists and just having a backyard barbecue, and when they hear Jesus, they might think the Lord's coming and rush on over here to where it's happening. We started these old Jesus cheers on the Sunset Strip back in 1967 and 68 was the first modern-day Jesus cheers, and our group started doing the cheers when I was in West Hollywood Police Station. Y'all didn't know it, but I've been arrested over and over and over. But I don't mind being in jail because I love to preach in jail. And I never have had anybody get up and walk out on me. But it's just great. One day they were moving us from West Hollywood jail down to downtown county jail. And they had us all handcuffed and chained on together with a big log chain. So if one decided to run, we'd all have to agree on the same direction. So as they were putting us on the bus and got on the bus and driving us downtown, I was witnessing the guy I was chained on to. And after a while, he said, "Would you shut up?" He said, "It's bad enough going to jail without being chained on to a crazy preacher." But anyway, we started those tears out there, and they've now echoed around the world. But I want us to stand up and do a great big cheer. Give me a J and a E, a S, U and a S. And what does that spell? Jesus. Now, some of you may say, "Well, now, I'm a fundamentalist." And I am, too. I'm a liberal fundamentalist. I believe in liberally giving away the fundamental gospel of Jesus. If it's not in the Bible, we don't want to do it. But I'm sure when Joshua marched around Jericho with the children of Israel, and he said to that whole crowd of people, "I want you to shout," they didn't go. They got it on. So let's get it on and do a great big cheer for the Lord. If they can cheer for guys out here butting balls, we ought to be able to cheer for the Lord. I never have been able to enjoy sports. Every time they go in the huddle, I think they're having a prayer meeting. And but you know, I got to thinking a while back, I thought, here are all these old big guys, 275 or 80 pounds, and big old tough guy says, "I don't want to be no sissy Christian, you know, praising the Lord and being nice and sweet." Big old brulee guys with helmets making them look even worse than they are. The dudes get a ball over the line and they hug and kiss. Have you ever seen those big old guys? If the preacher carried on that way with everybody that came forward, he would really be the star on TV, wouldn't it? They'd think, "What in the world's anybody?" No, we Christians are conservative. We don't even begin to act like. Could you imagine every time somebody came forward, if everybody was jumping up and cheering? Why, they cheer just because you get a ball over the line. And we Christians just silently sort of pray for you. Most you can ever get out of any of us is a little amen. So don't mind letting loose tonight. Okay, here we'll go. Give me a J.
J.
No, goodness. I can get a better cheer out of a bunch of winos in Hollywood. I mean, just forget that you're a Baptist. You Pentecostals, help them out. You know, some of you men, act like it's your wife. You get louder than that with your kids. Okay, here we go. Give me a J.
J.
Amen. Give me an E.
E.
Jesus! What are you living for?
Jesus!
What are you going to tell the world about?
Jesus!
What'll get you higher than acid?
Jesus!
What'll keep you up longer than speed?
Jesus!
What'll make you feel better than booze or money or anything in the whole world?
Jesus!
And what are you going to do with Jesus? Go!
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 Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Praise God. I tell you, it's exciting just to be able to know Jesus as Lord. I was in Las Vegas, Nevada, got into a taxi cab one night, and the cab driver looked at me and he said, "You're a real swinger." I said, "Yeah, I am." He said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Where they're having fun." He said, "Well, you ought to go to Pussycat a Go-Go." I thought he was going to take me to a revival meeting. But he said, "Pussycat a Go-Go." I said, "Let's go." So I sort of stuck my Bible under my arm like that, and stepped again into the cab, you know, and sat down. We drove down the Vegas Strip to Pussycat a Go-Go, got there, and I said to him, I said, "Sir, are you saved?" He said, "What?" I said, "Are you saved?" I said, "I'm a preacher. Got my Bible, and the Bible says, where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound." He said, "Pay up and get out." So I paid up, got out, started to go in the door, and the guy said, There's a door charge you'll have to pay to get in. I said, no, I've got my Bible here. I'm just a preacher. I want to share with you about the Lord and to share with the folks how they can really have fun. He said, I don't know what you're doing, but you got to pay the door charge to do it. I said, well, all the money I got's from Christians, and I don't want to give God's money to the devil, so I'll just witness to you for free. I opened up my Bible, started to read him, and he said, just go on in. Just go on in. I was in a restaurant one morning trying to be normal. I didn't have a sticker on. My little small Bible was in my pocket. My tracts was in a pocket. I was reading the newspaper. That's about as backslidden as I can get. And as I was reading the news, a guy rushed up and he said, who won? I said, Jesus. He said, no, who won the ball game? I said, they don't turn me on, but the Lord does. He said, you're weird. And he went out. Why do we think of a Christian being weird? There's more joy in living for Jesus 1 hour than all the carnal pleasures of a lifetime. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to preach his message anywhere. I'm not ashamed to carry that old 12-foot cross that we've just walked around the world with anywhere to say that Jesus is alive, that he can give you a new life. You see, it is the Lord of victory that we serve. Many of us are living lives of defeat, but Christ gives you victory. He can meet your needs. But you know, you can carry a cross, even like I do, and sometimes people then don't understand. I was walking with a cross through England, and as I was going along the road, there were two guys walking with me. And one of the news reporters came out, and he wrote a little story as we were talking to him, and then his photographer got ready to take a picture. And the photographer said, would you mind standing with your two disciples on either side of you? And I said, no. They're not my disciples. They're the Lord's. He said, oh, pardon me. Would you mind having your two Lords stand on either side? I was in Northern Ireland carrying the cross and giving out these little Jesus stickers. And the little boys and girls over there have grown up in the midst of barbed wire and barricades and bombs and all the tragedies over there. And so he was giving out stickers. And one of the little kids went to school and his teacher was a Christian. And I was going with the cross right through the battlefields. I won't be preaching about that tonight, but they arrested me the first time through anyway. Finally let us go, but the little guy had his sticker on and his teacher saw it and she said, what's that you're wearing? And he said, oh, it's a little wee badge, a little sticker. But the Irish would say a little wee bodge. And she said, well, where did you get it? He said, a man stuck it on me. And she said, well, what was he doing? He said, oh, he's dragging half of a barricade down the road. I was carrying the cross up into Canada. Went on into Canada last year, and as I was fixing to get up near the border, a car stopped, and this lady rolled down her window a little ways, and she said, did you ever go to school, young man? I said, thank you, because I'm getting some gray hairs. I appreciated the young man bit. She said, oh, no, did you ever go to school? I said, I sure did. She said, well, what grade did you finish? I said, well, I finished high school. She said, well, I'm sure that's all, didn't you? I said, no, went on through Mississippi College and out to seminary for a while. She said, well, couldn't you get a better job than this? Oh, we got the idea the old devil's put in our mind that if you're a Christian, you're living in defeat. You can't be happy, can't have any kind of fun in life, and it's drudgery. Christ puts our life together. I remember walking with a cross through France. I was going down the road one day dragging the cross, and I saw a big cross on the hillside. It was a stone cross. There are crosses all over France, in almost every city, many times out in the country, where the highways intersect. There are big, gigantic crosses, a reminder of the old faith that many of them had. And as I saw this one particular cross, I was strangely drawn to it. And I leaned the cross I was carrying up against a light pole, and I started climbing this little hill. The hill was full of weeds and grass and bushes, It had been unattended for years and years, certainly. When I got up to the top, I saw one of the most thrilling scenes I've ever witnessed in my life that didn't have any living people in it. For here was this old cross, big and tall, and it was hewed out of one piece of stone. And on that stone, there was the image of Jesus Christ being crucified. His head was dropped as though he had finished those words, "It is finished," and he was dead. As he was hanging with his head dropped and his arms outstretched, I stood looking at that old battered and chipped image of Jesus. Then I discovered in the bushes and in the grass, there were other little statues that were pointed as they were looking up at Jesus. There were men and women who were looking up at the cross where Christ was crucified. Upon the face of every one of those standing around, there was the expression of absolute and total hopelessness. There was total hopelessness on their face. They were looking at the Christ that they had tried to follow. They had seen him raise the dead. They had seen him heal the sick. They had seen him cleanse the lepers. They had seen him working miracle after miracle, and they knew and believed that he was the Son of God, and yet now the one they had followed, the one they had believed in, the one they had hoped in, was now dead on the cross. Can you imagine how they must have felt? Many of you at one time or another have felt hopeless, haven't you? Has there ever been even a moment in your life that you felt absolutely hopeless? Maybe in a car wreck, just as the car was out of control and you couldn't steer it and you knew you were going to crash, that flash of no hope. Or maybe it was despair you were in. You felt hopelessness. Can you imagine that in this whole world, the very attitude of every life, if there was no hope, and without Christ there is no hope in the world. They saw their hopes dying on the cross. And then I kept pulling back the weeds and vines around each of them, and over on the far side, I discovered this triumphant scene. I pulled back the weeds, and there was a devil on the ground. Now, I know it was the devil because the guy had him with a pitchfork tail. Now, we know the devil doesn't have one, but that was the way the guy that had sculptured this wanted us to know it was the devil. So here was the old devil on the ground with a pitchfork tail. And standing over the devil, there was an angel. And the angel was standing over the devil, and he had his foot on the devil's head. And he had a big old spear, and the spear was gouged down in the devil's neck. And that old angel was looking up at the cross, smiling. A glorious, radiant smile on his face. Now, I started singing. I started praising God. You wouldn't have known I was a Southern Baptist. I praised God, hallelujah, all over that old hillside. I was saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. The devil was defeated at the cross. He has no victory, for Jesus shed his blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God, that we might have the righteousness of God clothing us and protecting us and saving us. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus." You see, you can't save yourself. But Jesus has already defeated the devil. Satan is already conquered. You don't have to save yourself. All you need to do is to let Jesus Christ come into your life, and He will save you. And the one that saves you will keep you. He will save you and He will keep you, and He will give you the strength to live the Christian life. All you've got to do is let Him come in and just go along for the ride. That's all people say to me many times, bless your precious little old heart, you're struggling and suffering. I'd say I hadn't had nothing but fun. All I do is hang on and just let God go. Jesus will save you. And He has done all that's necessary to set you free. That's one reason I'm so excited to share about Jesus all day and all night. Because I'm excited about the one that's got the victory, who has the solution for the problems that you face. I believe what the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Will you say that with me? For my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Now there's no excuse now for any one of you leaving here in defeat. Maybe we ought to just quit preaching and give the invitation now. All that you need is in Christ. You don't need anything else but Jesus. And when you've got Him, you've got everything. And He'll start blessing you and filling you and thrilling you and using you and giving victory in your life. He can save you. Secondly, the victory is already won for all you Christians. And you as a Christian can live your Christian life in victory. One of the tragedies and most sad things I see anywhere in the world are sometimes the Christians that I meet. I mean absolutely washed out. It's a wonder that the preachers don't have nervous breakdowns more often than they do, because they have to shake hands at the door. It's worse than an infirmary. The preacher says, how are you? Well, I just can't hardly make it today. The next Sunday he says, well, how are you? Great! I mean up and down, zigzagging. No stability, absolutely washed out, no real strength in living for Christ. Jesus won the victory over Satan. 1 John 4:4 says, for greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. All you need to do is to be filled with the Spirit who is in you, to be saturated by the Spirit of God. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And you don't even have to concentrate on the devil. Concentrate on the Lord. And you go from victory to victory to victory. Who is in you? How many of you can say, Jesus is in me, His Spirit is in me? Raise your hand. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, how many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, will let He that is in you take control of you and fill you with His Spirit and walk in His steps? See, I found freedom in my life when I realized Philippians 2:13. The Bible says there, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. I said, praise the Lord, God will give me the desire and then God will give me the power to do it. All I got to be able to do is just start out and go. I remember the week before I started carrying the cross in 1969, I had had 4 strokes in the last 3 years. I was in the hospital at Glendale Adventist Hospital in Los Angeles. 3 neurologists were going through looking at my brain. They stuck those needles in my throat, dyed my brain. I'm telling you, their tests were so bad, I figured that I couldn't feel how the illness would be any worse than the examination. Have you ever felt that way? I mean, this was a mess. And finally, they came to the conclusion that I needed brain surgery. Some people think I still do. But day looked in and found I needed a plastic tubing right over here on this side of my head and right back here, and that I couldn't exert my... They wanted to do the surgery then. They started giving me all the angles of the odds of whether I'd die or make it or be crippled or be healthy, and I don't like to play odds. And finally, they said, well, if you go, said you've got 6 months to 3 years to live if you quit preaching. Just get a little cottage on the beach and rest and, you know, but and think about it, but you got to have it. And the Lord had told me one night to take the cross and carry it around the world that had been hanging in our building on the Sunset Strip, this big 90-pound cross. And I thought, well, I can't have the surgery now. So I went home, and I was taking all these pills, laying in bed, so woozy-headed, couldn't see straight, feeling as bad as I ever felt. And I remember laying there one night, and I was thinking, I thought, well, I know what the Lord said to do. He's told me to take the cross and walk across America and to the world. And I thought, I'd rather burn out than rust out. I don't mind dying, but I'd rather go out with a than eke out with arthritis and rheumatism. In the name of Jesus, Lord, you said go, so I'm going to go. I called Sherry in, got the medicine, threw it down in the commode, flushed it away, called the staff, said we're pulling out, and we left half of our staff to keep the building open. The rest went with me across America and got out of bed and got the cross together on Christmas morning, 1969, and at 10 o'clock in the morning started off down the street on Sunset Strip, and about four months ago arrived in Jerusalem 7.5 years later, and on the road hadn't been sick a day. I've eaten everything everybody's given me. I've drank everything you could conceive of drinking. You wouldn't even touch it. Many times in Africa, the stuff was so bad in holes, cows in it, folks washing their clothes. I dip down in it, pull that old stuff up, look at it, and say, in the name of Jesus, kill them all and drink it. And you just, I tell you, it's a God of victory we serve. Over and over and over again, I've been in a mess, thought I wouldn't live through it. I've said, Lord, I know deals with you. If you want me to die, I'm ready to die. But if you're not, praise God, I'm just going to go. I know what you said to do. I want to do it. Jesus is alive. He's living. And he'll change your life. Many of you have sought to know him. I want to read you a scripture verse. Jesus said these words, just a few short words, 6 words that are so powerful. And Jesus said, whom seek ye? Who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said, I am he. I'm the one you're looking for. How many of you are trying to have fun and get your life together? Let me share with you this. You'll never find the fullness of life in a bottle. You'll never find the fullness of life in a pill. You'll never find the fullness of life in a syringe. You'll never find the fullness of life in a bank account. You'll never find the fullness of life in an orgy. You'll never find the fullness of life on a vacation. You'll never find the fullness of life in power. But you can find all you need at the foot of the cross as you give your life to Jesus. Now, I don't know what you do, but sometimes I feel so full of the Lord, all I can do is go, There's nothing in the Bible that says you're supposed to go, But I tell you, I just sometimes run out of words. It's good to live for the Lord, the one you're looking for. And you know, all I do when a lot of people say, I thought, how do you go out and witness in the streets? How do you work with the people in the clubs, bikers and millionaires or movie stars or whatever it is? It doesn't matter, the whole cross section. I just say, I just go around and share with people how they can get what they're looking for. How they can get what they're looking for. And it's no big deal. You just share Jesus. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Jesus will take control of your life. I was on television one night when I was walking through Florida with the cross, and there was a man in a motel room watching it, and a very wealthy businessman. And as he saw that program, he watched it, and he said, as he was laying in bed, he said, God, if there is such a thing, he said, I need help. I'd like to meet that man. I need what he's got, but I don't know how to find him. And the next morning, he called his television station, and we'd recorded it earlier in the day, so they didn't even know where I was. Next morning, he was driving down the freeway, and he turned off to go into Tallahassee, where he was going for business. When he turned off the exit ramp and swung around to the little small road, I was walking across the exit ramp, and he almost ran over me. He slammed on the brakes, and I dashed out of the way, and I said, you missed me, praise the Lord. And he didn't start up. He looked at me, punched his little down button on his window. He said, were you on television last night? I said, I don't know, but I did a program yesterday. He said, you're the one with the cross. Well, obviously, yes. He almost hit it. I said, yes. He said, I need help. I've been looking for you. We pulled over a little bit, took the cross back there behind the back of his Continental. And did you know, we made the back of his big old limousine an altar. And he gave his life to Jesus. I mean, last year he even went up to Canada and spent a week with me walking down the road and passing out tracts. I mean, on fire for Jesus. It doesn't matter what your condition. You need the Lord. He's the one you're searching for. And you can find him. I was in Singapore. And I didn't tell about the little prostitute in Singapore last night, did I? I don't... You tell me if I'm preaching on something I already preached on. Just raise your hand if I hit the same old points, okay? But when I was in Singapore early this year even, carrying the cross, I left the cross one night and I went into all the old areas where the prostitutes are, went into this big old joint and it was loaded with girls and guys in there. And so I went over by the pool table and started walking back out the door, and there was this girl standing there, and as I walked by, she just offered me herself and for some dollars, and I looked at her and I said, listen, I said, I'm a preacher. And then I realized she didn't even know what a preacher was, because these were all Buddhist and Chinese. And so I said, I'm a Christian. Well, she didn't get much point there either, but I said, why did you just openly offer yourself for such a low price? She said, look at my arms. And I looked at her arms. They were just loaded with tracks. She said, my nose is already ruined from sniffing and inhaling so much heroin. And she said, I need money. I said, listen, I'll pay you. It was such a small fee. I said, I'll pay you, and we'll go over here at a table and sit down. I want to share with you about Jesus Christ. She said, well, I never heard of who you wanting to talk about. But she said, there's something about you that's so special, you don't even have to pay if you want to talk. I said, well, let's go over here and sit down. I started talking to her about God, showing her how Jesus had come, explained everything to her. She said, ever since I was just a kid, I've had to prostitute to get food. I know nothing but this life. And she said, I'm a drug addict. She said, there's no hope for me. She said, the only tranquility I get is when I'm loaded. And then, she said, I get loaded and I sit by myself for hours. And then when I come down, I got to go to work again. We finally went out in the street. And I, standing out there on the street curb with her and sharing with her more, she said, only thing I ever heard about Christianity is there's a church in the middle of town, the only one I ever heard of. I don't know anything. And I tried to share with her about Jesus. After a while, I said, listen, let me pray for you. I want you to let me pray. She said, you can pray. She said, there's such a peace and a glow. She said, you can pray for me. I don't know anything about it. She said, I pray. I go to the, well, she goes to the Buddhist place down there once in a while, but not even regular. I said, okay, let me pray. I started praying. And as I prayed, I had her hand, and a second, she just little bitty short girl, thin as could be. And she just slipped right up beside me, and tears were running down her cheeks. I said, will you pray this prayer? She said, I don't know much about it, but I'll say it anyway. And we started to pray, and she started praying. And I tell you, that girl that knew nothing invited Jesus into her heart. And at the end, she was weeping, and she said, now I know God. She said, I'm different, something strange. I said, I want you to come meet my wife and my children. She said, oh, no, I couldn't do that. I said, yeah, come down, meet my wife. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning or so. She said, the only people I've ever met in the hotel are the men. I said, you're going to meet one man's wife. She said, no, what'll she think, you bringing in a strange woman? I said, my wife will think it's all right. I said, been doing it for years. Come on, come on. I said, it's all right. Oh, she was scared to death. I said, she said, but I'm not. I mean, she had nice clothes, but she said, I'm not worth. I said, you're God's diamond now. God loves you. You're clean. You're a virgin. You're pure. I want you to meet my wife and kids to let you know you're in the family of God. We went in that hotel. The folks at the hotel knew my wife was there. And they kind of looked at me as I went on in. And I mean, we went on to the room, got up and woke Sherry, and all the kids got up and hugged her and kissed her and praying and praising the Lord. We went on into Malaysia. When we came back to Singapore to fly out to Israel, do you know that precious little girl's going stronger and stronger for the Lord? The one you're seeking for. You're looking for something to put your life together. You can find it in Jesus. Remember those words that Christ spoke? He said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You can find what you're looking for in Jesus Christ. He can meet your needs. Businessmen, Christ can change your life. Doesn't matter. He can use you ladies. He can use you students. The worst thing anybody could do to you would kill you. Amen? And then where would you be? Amen? Are you afraid of being with Jesus? Well, then you got nothing to worry about. And the next worst thing they could do to you would be to fire you if you got to witnessing on the job. And then you needn't worry about it, because you'll be a part of the new majority, the unemployed. You just share the Lord. You live for Him. You trust Him. And God will start putting your life together. He'll just put your life together for His glory. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. He'll meet your need. I wish that it was more personal, where we could all just meet individually, and I'd love to be able to share person to person with you how you can know Jesus. I'd rather witness to one person than I had preached to 10,000. Sometime the Lord wants me to preach to 10,000, or sometime more than that. But I love to talk to one person. We had a beautiful conversation today, didn't we, over there, brother, at the hotel. He gave his heart to Jesus. Stand up over there, man. Right there today at the hotel. Amen? We just sat down there, and God bless you. But we were able to sit there and talk in that dining room. Never did eat anything, did we? And finally got a little tea down us, but we had filet mignon in the Lord. I mean, we ate food that they didn't even serve in that. But you understand, I wish that every one of you in this audience that aren't saved that I could talk with like we did this afternoon. And just to be able to open up the Bible and sit down and share and then say, what didn't this make sense? Or what do you need? Anything else? And just let Jesus then have prayer together and come into your heart. But sometime it's in God's plan for us to speak to a lot of people because sometime we're not able to get together personally with everybody here. And that's the purpose of preaching, is to share Christ. And I just pray that God will make it personal to you, that you can realize that Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, is present in this stadium tonight. And that His Spirit is available to come into your life and to forgive you of your sins and to make you a new person. He's able to do that. I could account just person after person after person after person that I've known for year after year that have given their lives to Jesus. I never have found anybody that's ever been really born again, that's ever been wanting to be unborn, that said, I wish I'd never met Jesus. Now, I've met people that got tired of church, said, boy, I don't like the church. I got sick of church. They had churchianity, but not Jesus. But I never have met anybody that's ever known Jesus that said, I wish I didn't know Him. You can know Christ, for He rose again and He lived. You say, but how, Arthur? As best as I can explain it, let me share. God made you, and He made me. The Bible said God created us in His image. He breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. More than a dog or a cat or anything else. And I witnessed everybody. When I was walking across Africa, I'd many times look up in the trees at those monkeys, and I'd say, Jesus loved you, just in case. I didn't mind getting the word out there, but I tell you, we're different, and you know it. God created us with soul. He created us with the need for Him and the capacity to know it. But then the Bible says that Adam and Eve sinned against God. And everyone in this audience has sinned against God. The Bible said there's none righteous, no, not one. So every person here has the same problem, S-I-N, sin. And the Bible said there's a consequence to sin. When we sin, it's in essence, see, when Adam and Eve had the choice of being in the presence of God and loving and knowing Him, are rebelling against God and turning and identifying with Satan. So see, this is why sin is so bad. It is turning away from God to Satan. It's identifying yourself with him. And that's why when we die, if you're not saved, you go to the same place the devil's going to be in, and that's hell. We receive the consequence of identity with him. There's only two powers in this world, the power of God and the power of Satan. And when we sin, we're identified with Satan. And it leaves an emptiness in our life. You see, if you need water to drink, food's no good. You can have bundles of food and die because you don't have liquid. If you're hungry and you have plenty of water to drink, you'll starve to death. If you need air to breathe and there's a whole table of food and drink, you'd die because you need air. Just as basic as you need food and water and air, you need God. And no food can satisfy God. No dough can satisfy your need for God. No money can satisfy your need for God. No church can satisfy your need for God. Only God can satisfy the soul and fill you with His life. And so with us, having turned from God and sin, God spoke to us, gave us His prophets, gave us His laws, and we still continued to do what? Sin. And then God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God came down here in the flesh, in Jesus. He was man, though He was God, and He died, and He lived without sin. And then He triumphantly rose again. He's ascended into the Father. He sent His Spirit. And He said, listen, if you will hear My voice, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear My voice and open the door, I'll come in. And I will abide with him and he with Me. I'll sup with them. I'll fellowship. I'll live in them. Did you know God loves you? And Jesus will live in you. Now you see, a lot of us think we're so bad, we run ourselves down. I just hate to hear people talking about how bad a sinner they are. Well, now I think before we get saved, we need to acknowledge we're a sinner. But did you know what? Even if you're a sinner and lost, you're still precious to God. You're still so precious to God, you can have cursed Him, you can have done every abominable thing there is in the world to do, but God loves you enough that He'll come live in you. And if you're worth God living in, you're worth something. You're the most valuable thing in the world. The only thing of value in this whole earth are the people in it. Not the gold, not the banks, not the dollars, nothing. The only thing of any value are the people. And God wants to live in you. And if He likes you, I love you. God likes you. He loves you. He's interested, and He'll come, not standing off over here on the side saying, go that way, and if you make it, I'll take you. But He says, open your heart, and I'll come on inside of you. And I'll live in you day by day, and week by week, and year by year. And when you die, I'll take you to heaven right on with Me. He counts your value. That's why Jesus came, and He said, I'm knocking at your heart. And if you'll open the door, your will, I'll come in. I remember today as we were sitting there at the table in the restaurant, I drew a little line down a piece of paper, and I put the gulf of sin, and on one side I put Satan, and the wages of sin is death, and on the other side I put God, and the gift of God's eternal life. And I said to the brother over there, I said, right now, I said, which side are you on? He said, I'm over here. I said, do you want to be over here with Jesus? He said, I sure do. I said, you can't work your way over there. Can't anybody get you over there? But Jesus died on the cross, and I put a big cross right over that little two lines that represented a gulf, a barrier. And I said, Jesus can get you from here and put you over here. And big tears started running down that big old brother's eyes and cheek, smiling. He said, I want to be over there. And we prayed together. And Jesus, not Arthur blessed it. I didn't even have hardly anything to do with it. Jesus lifted him up and saved him. Put him on this side. And now is with the Lord. Now is with the Lord. Going, growing. Now that's what Jesus wants to do with you. We'll come right back here to that line. Just draw it out. Well, on one side we'll put Satan. Wages of sin's death. And over here the gift of God's eternal life. I want every one of you to answer the question. Are you over here with Satan and sin and the wages of sin, which is death? Or are you over here with God and eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord? In between is the barrier that you can't get across without Jesus. But if you want to get from here over here, then I want you to pray right now and ask Jesus to save you. Will you do that right now? Where you're sitting, don't even have to bow our head. But if you're here on this side, and I've been over here, and I was there one night in a dirt parking lot in Louisiana, and a preacher was telling me how I could be saved and know Jesus, and how He could come into my heart. And I said, Jesus, save me. Come into my heart, and Christ changed me. Every one of you that need Jesus to be your Savior, would you pray right now and just pray this prayer and say, God, I'm a sinner. Will you do that right wherever you are? If you've got any doubt as to which side you're on, you pray that prayer with me in your heart right now. God, I'm a sinner. And I know that I need to be saved. Jesus, I believe You died on the cross. You just tell Him that. Jesus, I believe You died on the cross. I believe You rose again. And I believe that You can change my life. Right now, Jesus, come into my soul and save me. Make me a new person. make my home heaven. I'm not ashamed of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And every one of you that prayed that prayer and meant it are now over here.